against Vanderbilt. What does Tennessee try to do the rest of the way? Are tournament hopes completely dashed for Tennessee? And then also some NCAA stuff to cover with Ron. He has mentioned before he has opinions when it comes to the NCAA, so we will ask him to share those coming up from 1 until 2 o'clock. Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports at 2:30, he wrote about the wreck with Ryan Newman at the end of the race last night, Denny Hamlin getting the win. We'll talk more about that. But Jay, who's also, he's written the book Earnhardt Nation and wrote today about Dale Earnhardt, who died 19 years ago today. Today is the anniversary of his passing, and last night we had a scary situation where Ryan Newman is, it would appear, lucky to be alive today. Just frightening for everybody last night. So thankfully, the injuries we found out, not life-threatening.
Yes.
But Denny Hamlin getting the win in the Daytona 500. Ryan Newman, the story out of that. We'll talk to Jay coming up at 2:30 this afternoon. We'll invite you to join us, 656-9900, and continue some of our Tennessee football conversation at the quarterback position from yesterday. All of that ahead in the next 3 hours as we begin today's show, taking a look around the sports world.
The biggest news, the main story. The headlines that have everyone talking. It's time to take a look around the sports world.
And there was news that just came out a moment ago, so we'll go ahead and tell you about that one. Drew Brees has announced that he is going to play football in 2020. There had been just questions about whether he would return to football or retire, and he announced just a few minutes ago he will play for the Saints this upcoming season.
Not so fast, Teddy Bridgewater. It does not look like you will be a Saint again next year.
Not as a starter.
Not well, and I even think that they can get something for him. I think he's a valuable piece.
Well, he's a free agent.
Oh, he's a free agent, so he can go wherever he wants, but we'll see what happens. I'm excited to see that Drew Brees is returning because I've told you many, many times I like the NFL better with the old guys still in it because they're just still great and they're effective. I would like to see Drew Brees win a home playoff game. That was definitely a missed opportunity, but I'm excited to see him return.
Yeah, still one of the faces of the league and
Absolutely.
Still a very productive player in an offense that can be so explosive. Yeah, so disappointing end. I don't know all the factors there, but I'm sure he didn't want to go out with a home loss in the opening round against the Minnesota Vikings.
I'm sure that played a part in it. And the fact that these guys are very confident in their abilities. I mean, it's like, move over, young bucks. I'm still here to stay. I'm still throwing for 4,500 yards a season plus. So, I think Drew Brees coming back is a no-brainer for him, and hopefully he can go out on a higher note.
It was terrifying last night what happened with Ryan Newman. Thankfully, he survived the crash. And part of what Jay wrote with Yahoo Sports is that, you know, 19 years ago, I'm not sure that he does. The Dale Earnhardt crash, as tragic as it was, there have been a lot of changes since then. And on the track, NASCAR hasn't had to deal with that tragedy since then. So thankfully, Ryan Newman was able to survive as we waited to find out last night after the race. Denny Hamlin got the win at the end, beating out Newman and Ryan Blaney.
The wreckage was just very eye-opening. I mean, the fact that he could survive a crash like that is just amazing, and NASCAR should get credit for the different harness devices and the upped safety standards that they've adopted since the death of Dale Sr. It's just mind-blowing. I cannot imagine his family watching that and having ESPN and other places replay it and having to live through that while your loved one is in the hospital. That kind of gives me anxiety.
I was terrified when they went to his car after it had finished and was sitting still, and it zoomed in and you saw the fuel and the fire. I was terrified about what could potentially happen there on live television. So thankfully, we don't know all the severity. We know he's in serious condition, but the report last night and the statement from NASCAR that the injury's not life-threatening. Tennessee basketball tonight against Vanderbilt. The Vols are coming off a disappointing loss to South Carolina. It's one Tennessee has to get tonight if they have any. I would say if they have NIT hopes, they need to win tonight. If they lose tonight, that becomes a tremendous long shot. But the Vols will be 13-point favorites against a Vanderbilt team that Tennessee beat easily in Nashville a few weeks ago. But don't just write off Vandy. Tennessee's big favorite, but a couple weeks ago, Vandy was a big underdog against the LSU Tigers. It wasn't Nashville, but Vandy beat at a then unbeaten LSU team in SEC play.
Yeah, and the biggest thing is it's a weird gym. Anything can happen. I guarantee Santiago Vescovi has never played in a place like Memorial Gym because it's just stupid and should not exist. And you have to make sure that you have all your T's crossed and all your I's dotted when playing a team they have nothing to lose. All they want to do is go out and try to play spoiler for the rest of their season and try to upset other people's postseason hopes. And they'll definitely be gunning for Tennessee tonight.
Yeah, I would say not. So you're lukewarm on Nashville's setup there?
Yes, lukewarm, if that means just absolutely cannot stand it.
Okay.
So dumb.
Tom Hart on the call tonight, by the way, with Andy Kennedy. Things get kind of wild when Tom's in the building, so be ready for that, too.
More so in football than in basketball, but yeah, you do have to factor in the Tom Hart and the crazy gym configuration.
I wasn't talking sports. I was just saying, in general, Tom's in the building, things get kind of wild.
Well, was he in Virginia Beach yesterday? Is that who was blurred out on The Bachelorette?
I thought Hannah Ann brought her A game. When you look at things things that are going on around the sports world, last night was very sports-centered because you had Bruce Pearl on there. They
yes.
played basketball. So, as I say, The Bachelor is a sports show. Hannah Ann in Knoxville. And axe throwing, that's sports competition, absolutely. So, Hannah Ann brought her A game. Spoiler alert, she advanced to the final three.
All right, there you go.
Great line
like
from
that.
Bruce, which would not surprise you. But they were playing basketball with Madison in Auburn's arena, and Bruce says to her, congratulations on two Final Fours this year, as the Auburn Tigers went to the Final Four this past basketball season, and now she's in the Final Four of The Bachelor, and her father is on staff, so she can take some serious credit with Auburn's basketball success, plus obviously her own.
Saturday Down South also on Instagram wanted to put an exclamation point on two SEC teams, or I should say hometowns,
being
in the, being in the Final Four of The Bachelor. And they went on to say, what is the SEC not good at?
Yeah, I would still stick with Madison as my pick, but I don't know how it's going to play out.
Yeah.
Victoria would be the upset. She's the third that is still around. Speaking of ACC country, as Victoria's from Virginia Beach, the ACC supporting one-time transfer allowance. So we're getting closer. I think it's a matter of when, not if, this is going to happen. The allowance would be for all sports. Football, men's basketball,
yes.
women's basketball, and on. And some sports already allow it.
Like volleyball, you can transfer wherever you want.
Which is part of what's funny to me is when some of these ideas are brought up and it sounds so foreign to a lot of people, and it already exists within the NCAA with a number of sports. And not all sports are the same. I recognize that. Football, men's basketball are just going to get more attention than really everything else combined. But still, it already is within the NCAA structure. It would just be coming to the more high-profile sports. So the ACC is supporting one-time transfer allowance.
I support it. I think me and you are both on record many, many times saying that this just needs to happen. And I think it needs to happen in the NCAA meetings, like ASAP. So it would be applied to fall of 2020.
Yeah. And if I didn't say that clearly enough, a one-time transfer allowance without having to sit out.
Yes.
When you transfer from one school to another as an undergraduate. As a grad transfer, you are allowed to go ahead and move on to another school without having to sit out. North Carolina losing again last night to Notre Dame. It's just been a lost season for Roy Williams Tar Heels.
Still only, 10 wins on the season. So I think now they're 10-15 on the year. That is just brutal. That is definitely not what they're used to in North Carolina. I couldn't feel bad for them, though. Sorry.
Yeah, I did not.
No love lost here.
Yeah, 10-16 with the loss.
10-16?
I did not realize that you really don't like North Carolina basketball.
Really don't like them.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they got away with some of the most egregious cheating that we know that has happened.
Talking about the academic stuff?
Yes. Everything else is just kind of hearsay and you assume that it's happened. But this, we know it happened and they had no penalties whatsoever. And then I've got a bunch of in-laws that are big North Carolina honks. They love it.
Okay.
Eat it up.
Okay. So, then you're enjoying this. Not going so well with the Tar Heels this year. I don't think they're going to make the NCAA tournament. How many will make it from the SEC? Right now, Joe Lunardi's bracketology update has four teams. Is that right?
Yes.
From the SEC.
Four teams in Alabama, sort of in bubble watch territory, but out as of right now. So only four teams for the SEC. That's not good, especially if you're like me and trying to hold on to any hopes of Tennessee getting into the tournament.
Yeah,
they're not one of the top four teams in the league.
The bubble watch from The Athletic didn't mention Tennessee.
Yeah.
With the teams that have work to do to try to get into the NCAA tournament. And then a little back and forth today from Nick Markakis to Dusty Baker. Markakis, the latest veteran in Major League Baseball to speak out strongly against the Astros. The line that I think has gotten the most attention easily is they need to take a beating.
Yeah.
And Dusty Baker said, accurately, I didn't think Markakis talks that much, he must have eaten his Wheaties this morning. And that's another part of his. Markakis is not an outspoken guy. He's the latest among players around the league that are saying this is wrong and more should have been done. He said Rob Manfred, the commissioner, should be embarrassed and ashamed of his actions against the Astros or lack thereof.
I would put Nick Markakis not on the same playing field as Mike Trout, but in the same category. As usually they're not outspoken. They are kind of quiet guys, but I think when they do speak, it speaks volumes and people really shut up and listen to what they're saying. And so it's just, again, it's not good for the Astros, and it's not going away anytime soon.
No, it is not. That is a look around the sports world. There's a lot going on in the sports world today.
Who's more dysfunctional, Victoria F. or the Houston Astros?
Well, the Astros, from a PR standpoint, I mean, you're going to find some similarities there. They were pretty buttoned up. I guess literally, don't pull my jersey off. But, yeah, I mean, Victoria is an all-time mess. All-time. Here. I mean, her hometown date didn't even finish last night.
Didn't even happen.
Pete didn't meet the family.
Yeah,
but still, it's all about surviving in advance. If you go 3-for-25 in the tournament, but you still get out of there with a win at the end, what do? You play in the next round. And Victoria F., on to the final three. We're on to Sports 180's next segment. It probably won't include Bachelor Talk. We'll talk Tennessee football. Jarrett Garantano, a continuation of what we discussed yesterday. He hopes to lead. He hopes to be the guy starting at quarterback for Tennessee, trying to win an SEC East title for the first time in 13 years. We'll cover that coming up next on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Download the WNML app, listen on the go anytime. We appreciate you being with us. Just to be clear, Tennessee's basketball game is at home tonight. I had a couple of people call. The conversation about Heather hating Vanderbilt's gym was just a separate topic.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about LSU.
Right, LSU lost there, and Tennessee won there earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Care to guess my feelings on Vanderbilt's setup?
You don't care?
656-9900 if you would like to join us as well. Also news here in the last half hour, Drew Brees announcing he will return to the Saints for the 2020 season, which would open up the likelihood, I would say, that Teddy Bridgewater could go somewhere else because there could be a team out there looking to bring him in to be a starter. So add Bridgewater's name, which I think was already kind of out there, of possibilities for NFL teams this offseason. Should be fun.
Yeah, and the fact that we still don't know anything about Cam Newton, like, why are we not talking about Cam Newton? I feel like that's oversight, at least on my part, of not knowing more of where his potential landing spots are. It's an interesting year for sure.
Well, there are a lot of guys we don't know.
Situation. Yeah.
We don't know with Cam. We don't know with Brady. We don't know with Winston.
Rivers,
we know he'll be somewhere else. Andy Dalton's going to be somewhere else. But yeah, there are a few guys you don't know if they're going to be leaving, and a few that we don't know where they're going to go. They're just going to go somewhere. So we don't have this kind of conversation very often in the NFL with the quarterback position.
It's also weird that we're talking about the Patriots sort of moving on from Brady, but we're not talking in the same regard to the Saints, because the Saints actually have a good backup. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater could be the guy if they were going to jettison Breeze and keep Bridgewater there. It's weird that we're having the conversation about the Patriots wanting to move on from Tom Brady, but we're not having that same conversation about the Saints wanting to move on from Drew Brees.
Well, if Brady were under contract and had never expressed interest in leaving, then we wouldn't be talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. Like Breeze was either going to play for the Saints or retire.
Yeah, that's true.
Brady is a free agent who changed his contract to become one and has said, I'm going to, or he's expressed he's going to look elsewhere. So that would be the difference, is Breeze wasn't considering it.
Yeah, he was either going to hang it up. I get what you're saying,
Now, Tennessee's quarterback position, that's also kind of an interesting conversation. We talked about it yesterday, probably talk about it tomorrow. Thursday it might come up. Every day this offseason it might come up. What's interesting is that a video not too long from Jarrett Garantano came up on Tennessee's official Twitter account over the weekend. And he looked back a little bit at the 2019 season, some of the challenges he had to overcome, and then talked about goals for 2020. This was Tennessee's senior quarterback, Jarrett Garantano, on Twitter over the weekend.
The beginning of the year for me was definitely very challenging. It was nothing that I had envisioned going into the year. Obviously, I had to take a step back for a couple of games and come off the bench, but it really taught me a lot about myself. It taught me a lot about the teammates around me, my friends, my family. And being able to do that, I think, made me a better football player and a better person. It taught me that I was determined. It taught me that I can get through the tough times. And being able to really get a 6-game win streak and end it off with a bowl win, it really meant a lot. I mean, honestly, starting out the way that we did, there's probably nobody that thought that we would even make it a 6-6 or whatever it was. But being able to go 8-5 and finish off the year like we did was impressive to us. And we just know that we have a lot going into this year riding, and we know that we have to capitalize. The things that kept me motivated most last year was really my teammates, my family. They kept me up, they kept me energized, and they kept me wanting to keep going on. And without them, I don't think I would have been able to do the things that I did last year. I want to show everyone that I can be the most consistent. The past couple of years, I haven't been very consistent. It's been very up and down, but this coming year, I'm going to take week by week. This is my first time in my career that I'm going to have a coordinator for a second year, and I think it's going to impact me a lot for the good. I have to go in every day and absolutely make myself learn new things, but being able to have the same coordinator is definitely good for myself and good for my teammates. I can definitely grow as a leader in this upcoming season, just from whether that's staying extra hours of the night or that's even being more vocal with my teammates. And going into this year, I know it's my senior year and I know I have to speak up some more. My unfinished business for 2020 is to be the best quarterback that I can be a leader of this football team, and to go to the SEC championship.
Jerry Garantano from Tennessee's Twitter account. That music, I like that, by the way. It's kind of like, you know, those Humankind videos you see on the internet.
Yes.
It kind of goes with that.
Or like Humans of New York, kind of the same vibe, yeah.
Some awareness there from Jarrett. He knows he hasn't been consistent enough. He knows he hasn't been good enough at times. I mean, obviously he knows that, having lost his job at different times this past season, but also knows that he's probably the favorite going in. As long as he gets to the level that he can reach, he should be Tennessee starter at the beginning of the season. We'll have a chance to be that all the way through. I'm fascinated to see how this plays out, because Harrison Bailey's going to challenge. Brian Maurer plans to compete for the job. JT Shrout does as well. I mean, realistically, if Jarrett loses the job at the start of the year or sometime during it, it seems like Harrison Bailey would be the most likely guy to unseat Jarrett. But I don't know. I think Jarrett's the favorite. I think he has the best chance to be Tennessee's quarterback, but I also know that he got benched this past season, so he has to be a better player this upcoming year.
And I wouldn't totally count Brian Maurer out of the backup, you know, just piggybacking on your Harrison Bailey comment. I would imagine that your backup situation would look like Harrison Bailey 2A and Brian Maurer would look like 2B, maybe. I do think they would sort of be on even playing field, and we'll see how it all shakes out. But
if Bailey beats out Maurer, though, does he stay? You also have that question.
Very good point. Yeah, that's a very good point. I still think my number one to leave, if I'm handicapping it, I would give the best odds to JT Shrout at this point in time, just because of it's sort of been passed over by even a younger guy in Brian Maurer last year, and looks like Harrison Bailey will do the same. Okay, going back to Jarrett Garantano and the conversation around him, the best thing for Jarrett Garantano is he's got a lot of power. He's got a lot of how his last year goes at Tennessee. He holds that in the palms of his hands. So he's going to be responsible if he makes it through the whole season and is still the starter, or if he's not. And I think that's a really interesting place to be in, because for a lot of guys, it's not always in your control and this and that. But him having showed what he showed this past year and the tenacity that he had, I think definitely puts him in the driver's seat, and however long he stays there is entirely up to how he plays.
We tried to give our best guess, I guess, at the approval rating of Jerry yesterday among Tennessee fans. My number was higher than yours. I'm guessing, though. I really don't have any idea what it is. I would think that overall most fans just want the best guy to be out there, but even you know that, I'm not 100%. I think fans want one guy to be the best, maybe, but that's going to be a part of this conversation as well this offseason, is the support of the fan base, because that appeared to be kind of up and down at times this past season too.
Absolutely, especially if you maybe dabble into one website or another, like Twitter. It got brutal for Jarrett Garantano, even after the season, even after you saw everything that he did this year with a broken hand towards the end of the season, and then the bowl game and all of that. People were like, okay, we're ready for you to transfer. I didn't understand it. And my only caveat with us talking about the approval rating yesterday, I was trying to guess the approval rating of the fans, and that's why I went low. I'm extremely high on Jarrett Garantano, and I do think he is Tennessee's best option at this point in time. And if that changes, it changes. And we'll see how it ebbs and flows. But I just think, he learned a lot this past year. And I think he's going to know the defense is better and how to make adjustments within the offense. I think he can do that probably more efficiently this next go round, this next season.
When it comes to the different social media platforms, by the way, I try to divide it. So I go to Twitter for opinions on quarterbacks and then LeBron versus Jordan.
Okay.
Facebook, I go there strictly for political takes.
Yeah, politics. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
And that's good that you diversify like that. I really feel like you're doing your due diligence there.
I think that keeps me most informed.
I go to Instagram for my Bachelor spoilers.
Okay. Yeah, your spoilers only. You don't watch the show. You're reading Reality Steve. I go there to try to form my craft of one day being an Instagram model, working on it.
Yeah, you could definitely influence people.
Yeah, that's the plan. Or at least get Owen to. I don't know, one of the two. We'll come back, 656-9900, more on Tennessee's quarterback situation, Tennessee basketball, the bubble watch, Ron Slay at 1 o'clock. We are loaded up this afternoon next to Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward, Joel Silverberg with us with the Midday Sports Minute coming up for you on FM 99.1, the sports animal. One of my new favorite stories out of the Astros debacle coming up in a moment. Thanks for being with us here on Sports 180. 656-9900 is the phone number. We'll get back to a little Tennessee talk here this segment with the face-off coming up in 10 to 15 minutes on Sports 180 presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center. Before all of that, caller number 3 to 656 wins will be our latest qualifier with the Coors Light climb to the championship. That will include two tickets to all the games for the men's basketball tournament in Nashville coming up in March, as well as $500 spending cash. Caller number 3 to 656-9467. That's 656 wins will be a qualifier for the Coors Light climb to the championship.
I also want to applaud the Vol accounts, especially Vol Football Twitter account, because I know it was a big night for Bruce Pearl on The Bachelor last night.
Very big.
But Tennessee also reminding them, don't forget, they were in Knoxville, and we have also been to the Smoky Mountain Axe House. So I thought that was really cool that they chimed in as well. So, if, you know, it infiltrated people's feeds. So Bruce didn't get all the attention last night.
No, he did not. Maybe, well, the most went to Victoria, but that's a conversation for another day. Plenty for Bruce. Tennessee will play Auburn on Saturday as well.
I'm really looking forward to that. So, first one on the road.
It'd be a tough one.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard. Let's see how they play tonight. The mounting, and one thing we're going to talk about with Ron Slay coming up during the sleigh ride, the mounting health concerns for this team, because one, we know this is not a deep team, and two, the injuries are piling up at this point in time.
You're talking about Tennessee.
Yeah.
Now, should note that Auburn was without Isaac Okoro this past weekend in a loss against Missouri, and Missouri took it to Auburn. And Okoro's status is still unknown. He's dealing with a hamstring issue. As Bruce Pearl said a few minutes ago, that Okoro will travel to Georgia for tomorrow's game, but his status is still uncertain. So a guy who could be a lottery pick is maybe going to play, maybe not this week when Tennessee goes down there.
Okay, so that's definitely something to be aware of.
Well, if he plays tomorrow, then you would expect, as long as nothing else happens, that he would play against Tennessee. If he doesn't play tomorrow, then it keeps at least the question open of whether he would be out there against Tennessee.
Yeah, and you would hope that Tennessee will still have Josiah Jordan James and Eve Pons out on the floor for them.
Yeah, Tennessee's just dealt with a lot, and I can't say it's all that surprising, considering how much they've been taxed with. Plus, things just happen, but a lot of minutes for guys that haven't played that much. Things are going to happen, and they've happened to Tennessee throughout the season since the very beginning with Josiah Jordan James, Lamonte Turner going out, and then Josiah having to miss several games, and Eve Pons, one of the latest, as you mentioned. Last week in the win against Arkansas, Fulkerson, they didn't know if he was going to play up until close to the start of it. That was a sickness issue,
yep.
Not as much injury, but still.
And everybody that's either been out in society lately or has kids knows the sickness is everywhere. Mm-hmm. I hope these guys are using tons of hand sanitizer because, like you said, with the injury issues that are kind of rearing their heads right now, sickness is the last thing this team needs.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And this is a week where Tennessee has to win tonight, and really you need to try to steal some games moving forward as well. The bubble watch from The Athletic had teams that are locks to be in, Auburn and Kentucky. LSU should be in. And then SEC teams with, quote, work to do to get into the NCAA tournament included Florida, Alabama, Arkansas, and Mississippi State. So no mention of Tennessee.
I feel like you put this in our show for my own well-being so that I can start tampering down my expectations. Because the worst thing to happen is you have you just have outrageous expectations and then you get disappointed.
You haven't listened to me, so I thought maybe Heather will listen to Eamon Brennan from The Athletic, formerly of ESPN.
Yeah, and the biggest thing is it's everywhere. It's not just The Athletic. I mean, when you look at Joe Lunardi's bracketology, Tennessee is not in the conversation at this point. You have Alabama and Mississippi State as the first four out, so they are still sort of in the conversation, but also Lunardi just dumped the SEC down to four teams. So instead of five, which is down from better years that the SEC has had in recent history, down to four teams, there's no margin for error. And those teams like Kentucky and Auburn and LSU, those guys just can't lose. They need to still be carrying the torch for the league, which didn't happen last week. Kentucky was the only survivor out of LSU and Auburn on Saturday.
Well, yeah, even the best teams in the SEC don't look like great teams. Doesn't mean they can't go on a run. I mean, yeah, it's college basketball, but in terms of the strength of those teams, Kentucky's not at its best where it's been under Calipari.
And don't you think that that affects the perception of the league? So that's why Lunardi, got rid of one team, basically. He's had five in for basically the whole season, and now not.
Yeah, the league as a whole has taken a hit with it as well. And long term, I'm still bullish on what SEC basketball can be, but this has been a step back for sure, and there were some coaching changes before the season as well. We will cover that with Ron Slay coming up at 1 o'clock, the Slay Ride from 1 until 2, thanks to Native Design and Hardscape. This is one of my newer favorite stories out of the Astros scandal. There was a lawsuit that was filed by former pitcher Mike Bolsinger, a couple weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
He's taking the Astros to court, saying that my last outing was against the Astros. They lit me up, haven't been back in the big league since. It's an interesting conversation to have. Now there is Adam Wallach. He is an Astros fan, and he has turned on the Astros. He has filed a class action lawsuit that claims the Astros, using the electronic sign-stealing scheme, helped win more games, which then led to the team jacking up ticket prices. So now he is suing for inappropriate increases. His official complaint accuses the Astros of deceptively overcharging fans for season tickets, while defendants and their employees and representative knowingly and surreptitiously engaged in a sign-stealing scheme and secretly put a deficient product on the field that could result, and now has resulted, in severe penalties. So the lawsuit from the Astros fan asks that Houston be ordered to compensate all Astros season ticket holders for the upcharge in ticket prices from 2017 through now, and that the team be forbidden from increasing season ticket prices for at least 2 years. Also, Wallach wants $1 million in damages.
There you go. Pain and suffering, man. Yeah. I can't even, it's like my dad. I don't even feel right about wearing my Astros shirt. One of my buddies was in South Austin yesterday, and he was wearing his Astros World Series championship hat. And somebody goes, "Your team cheats!" Literally, while he's walking down the street into wherever he was going, I think it was a restaurant, and he goes, "So does your mom." Oh, and the fan was like, "What?" Like, it just stunned him. And so he was like, "Yeah, my mama jokes are still some fire." So I put that up on my Facebook page.
On that one,
that
huh?
was just fantastic. So,
all right,
Astros fans, they're taking it everywhere. I mean, it's really sad for them. For the team,
you said yesterday you felt bad for the Astros, and then you scaled that back to just the fan base. Okay.
Yeah.
So how about the Astros? Where do you stand on the organization? Do you feel bad for those people?
For the organization, yes, but not for the people that were not involved, like the people in the the development office or whatever, the people marketing. Yeah, those people have a really hard job, and they had nothing to do with sign stealing. It just stinks because they should be sitting pretty right now, just touting. They should be selling season tickets off the shelves for the World Series and all this. But so their jobs got harder. I feel bad for them. For the players, and you can't feel bad. I mean, you just can't. They deserve it.
So Bregman, you're not too concerned for his status.
I hate it for Springer. I love Springer.
Yeah.
Springer Dinger. It's just great.
What about Altuve?
I think Altuve was probably one of the biggest cheaters, even though people are trying to come out and say he wasn't.
Yeah, see, Jeff Passan says wrote in his most recent piece that he was one of the players that said, I don't want the trash can banging, and that the data shows that he was one of the players with the least amount of bangs while he was at the plate. But the reason he stepped up and said, hey, it's us as a team, because he's trying to be a team guy through this.
If that's the case...
Plus, he's caught up in Tattoo Gate.
Yeah, if that's the case, unfairly, then I really feel sorry for him. If he knew what was going on and just didn't do anything to stop it, but also didn't participate, mm-hmm. I don't feel like he should totally go down with it. And the fact that the MVP trophy, they want to take it back from him, all these baseball fans, and give it to Aaron Judge retroactively, I feel bad for him, especially if he wasn't doing anything. But also, you got to speak up, man. If people are doing things that are wrong and you don't believe in it, you just have to speak up.
It's a peer pressure lesson here.
It is a peer pressure lesson. Be strong, kids out there. I know it's hard. Be strong.
I'm not saying this is all Altuve's thought, but even if you don't want it for yourself, you could, in the back of your mind, think, well, might help my teammates hit a little better. We'll come back here on Sports 180. We'll hit the face-off presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center. Joel sets us up there. Ron Slay at 1 o'clock here this afternoon on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. Joel's going to set us up with the face-off coming up in just a moment. Quick Tom Brady update for you. Ben Affleck was on Get Up this morning. Went shoulder shrug emoji, apparently. Said he and Matt Damon asked Tom Brady, texted him, said, what are you doing? You staying? And Brady sent back the shoulder shrug emoji.
How much fun would it be to be in that group chat?
Say it's an active one, yeah.
Just incredible. It makes me totally jealous, not of Tom Brady for getting to talk to Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, but vice versa. It makes me totally jealous of Ben and Matt.
Sure.
For getting the Tom Brady's phone number. That just sounds unbelievable to me.
You know, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, not exactly chopped liver.
I get that. But Tom Brady, meh.
He's got the six rings, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So who knows? Where is he going? Is all of this one big Hulu commercial? I'm starting to feel that just feeling of rolling my eyes and like, oh, that's what this was about. I had the same feeling after watching the movie Inception. I was like, really? All that time and this is what it was about? I was very disappointed.
You didn't like Inception?
No. Oh. I know we have just totally different movie tastes.
Yeah,
I value that it was a different concept yeah. and that it was extremely well done. Mm-hmm.
I'm more
not
into
a big
the good
Christopher
movies.
Nolan fan. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever you need to tell yourself. Is this just all a big to do? And Tom Brady's just going to be right back at the Patriots. That's the vibe that I'm getting today, February 18th, 1251. Might have a totally different feeling tomorrow, but today it's that this is all just stupid and we're wasting our time and he's going to be with the Patriots for two more seasons.
A little later in the show, Brady with a message for the haters as well. So we'll update you on that one. But currently his status for where he will play, shoulder shrug emoji.
So if I ask you, where's Tom Brady going to play? Are you shoulder shrugging or are you giving me a red, white, and blue emoji that he's going back to the Patriots?
Let's hit the face off.
Toe-to-toe. Let's go one-on-one with today's face-off.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man.
Presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock!
Joel, what do you have for us?
All right, guys, would you draft Tua with the number one pick?
I would not rule him out with the number one pick. I would need to know a lot more on the medical situation. I do think that's a legitimate concern. It's probably not a bold take there, but I would not rule him out. What I do think is a little crazy is if he's healthy and the hip's not a real concern moving forward, bumping Justin Herbert over to it to me is insane. So I would have Tua much closer to Burrow than to Herbert.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Tua, if he does not go number one and Joe Burrow goes number one, Tua most definitely should go number two. I would recommend teams trading up to pick Tua. It sounds like the medicals are coming back with great reviews. He is healing on schedule, if not ahead of schedule. These teams are going to get a lot more into it with him as well as the draft gets closer and closer whenever April rolls around. But I would not pass on Tua if I had the number one, definitely not the number two pick.
Should there be a commissioner of college football?
I think there should be. I was listening to some comments from Kirk Ferentz, Big Ten coach, and the thing he said, and it makes so much sense, football should not be in any sort of relational conversation to lacrosse, volleyball, basketball, anything. It's just bigger and it has more demands. There's more guys that play. There's more things that need to happen. I do think the NCAA needs to create a committee or whatever, some sort of governing body just for football.
In a perfect world, yes, but that's not what exists. The issue right now to me is that it would just be a fake position. So maybe someday in the future, I don't think they're anywhere close to it.
Will the SEC only get four teams in the NCAA tournament?
I mean, it's kind of trending that way. I'll say no, though. I'll say a fifth gets in. I'll say that it's Alabama, that Nate Oates figures out a way to slide them in, and the others stay. But Bama or Mississippi State, I'll say one of those two gets the fifth spot, not six.
I don't think six get in. I think four is probably the most likely scenario, but I can't discount that five has been in this whole time, and there's always some kooky things that happen in the last couple of weeks of the regular season. So give me five teams to still make the tournament from the SEC.
Foo Fighters or Nirvana?
How about the Foo Fighters?
Coming to town.
And Eric Ainge is giving away tickets, so yeah. Be tuned in to the Eric Ainge Show every single day because they're giving away tickets leading up to 420. April 20th is when the Foo Fighters will be at Topps of Bowling Arena. I am going to take Nirvana just because of when they came out, how influential they were. I still own the DVD of MTV Unplugged, like my favorite DVD ever. So give me Nirvana over Foo Fighters in a close one.
Yeah, I love Foo Fighters. Love Dave Grohl. He factors into both bands, of course. To me, it's actually a runaway. I think Nirvana's influence, its impact, songwriting, all that stuff. I'm going to go Nirvana. As much as I love Foo Fighters, Nirvana in an easy pick.
Two of the best absolutely cover albums in Nevermind and in Utero. They are like burned in my brain.
Shout out to Weird Al Yankovic's parody cover of Nevermind as well. On a 1 to 10 scale, what's your confidence level Tennessee beats Vandy tonight?
I typically say you need to avoid a 7 in this conversation. 7's a bit of a cop-out. Sounds strong, but you still have a little weakness to it. 7's a cop-out. I'm going to say 6. Tennessee's a big favorite. Tennessee can't think it's a big favorite against a team that it already beat up on. Tennessee should be a big favorite in this game. Better be ready for the Vanderbilt Commodores.
I'm nowhere near 7. Give me a 9.
Okay.
What are you thinking? A 6?
BPI says 90%, so they say you're right.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to stick with BPI, our homies at ESPN, and give me the Vols. I don't know. Covering 13, that seems like a lot, but I think they can win by double digits.
Okay.
All right. Heather gets the win.
There you go. Little Nirvana.
Joel is like a whiz, man. He's like getting audio clips just like that. He's pulling up awesome songs. He's doing it today. Yeah. Joel, you're the winner.
Yes, career's in bloom, you might say.
I like that.
The Face-Off presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center. Nirvana, by the way, Foo Fighters. Either way, good workout music. So
yeah, you're absolutely right.
You go into Fort Sanders, you're getting a workout in, weight training, cardio, group fitness classes. If you download the app or you go online, they have a fitness group, a fitness class schedule that's always updated for you. And their app actually works, which is really nice. So as a member, you just have so many benefits. Childcare that is complimentary with the family membership as well. It's huge at Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
And one thing we always talk about is weather. It's such a crapshoot this time of year. Crank up that Nirvana and head on into the indoor track. You can get your laps done. You can get in the indoor pool, indoor tennis courts. They have so many different options, like Josh was saying, to help you reach and crush your fitness goals. And with the family membership, you talk about affordable. It's just it's so money. It's under $125 per month to be a family member, where you get the free childcare with that membership and no long-term contracts. They don't ask for $1,000 down or anything crazy like that. It's literally month to month. You can cancel whenever you want, but you're not going to want to, because they take such great care of you. And also, one thing we don't point out, but it's so clutch because I'm always coming from work: the lockers. Everybody gets a locker. All you do is hand them your card. They swipe it. They give you a key. You could even pick which one if you have a favorite area in the dressing room.
Low 200s.
Yeah, so awesome.
Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center, Kingston Pike, right off Pellissippi Parkway. Mention Sports 180. Get $20 off enrollment at Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center. A lot of basketball talk, NCAA talk as well over the next hour as we hit the sleigh ride with Ron Slay next on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.